Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
One of the big problems I'm having dealing with your plan and issue is that you're not going to be here after January 20th of 2009. And I'm going to have to answer to the 4.2 million people in Kentucky, and all these other senators up here are going to have to answer to their constituents. If this plan does not work.
Senator, all I can say to you is I got here 2 years ago. I've been trained all my life to run toward problems. I've had some big problems to have to run toward. And I've worked very closely with the chairman of the Fed, with the chairman of the SEC, president of the New York Fed, my colleagues, Congress, to address these issues as they've come up. And
the point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along.
It is the Savage Nation. Are you in the money? Are you in the money? Is there anyone listening to this show who thinks it's a good idea to give the former chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs a $700 billion check and he answers to no one except Ben Bernanke, who needs a shave, and Chris Cox, who needs to go back to Yale to be reinitiated into the Skull and Bone Society? Because apparently he's failed the big boys back in New Haven. This is incredible to me that I have seen it as the Ponzi scheme it is for quite a while. I've said to you that while not accusing Mr. Paulson of any impropriety, it would be prudent for him to recuse himself from these discussions in that there could be an appearance of a conflict of interest, since his former friends at Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are the only men standing on Wall Street, and they're standing on toothpicks, not on concrete pilings 80 feet into the bedrock. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel a little better today. And let me tell you why I feel a little better today, because although I have felt like I'm the only one in the media who is saying, wait a minute, this is a Ponzi scheme. Wait a minute, something's wrong with giving the very guys who crashed the Titanic into the iceberg, the wheel again. Apparently, there are others, a few in the Senate, who are saying, wait a minute, we've got to look at some alternatives. Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama and a Republican said, we've got to look at some alternatives. That's good. Representative John Boehner of Ohio said, nobody wants to have to do this, but he's going to do it anyway, of course, because he's a deal maker. But there are others who stood up to these guys and said, wait a minute, Daryl Issa, Republican California congressman, said, I am emphatically against it. Joe Barton, Republican of Texas, said, and this is a good one, just because God created the world in 7 days doesn't mean we have to pass this bill in 7 days. Let us see who else stood up to Paulson and company. Well, there are quite a few others here. Shelby Bunning was the best. He said, this massive bailout is not a solution. It is financial socialism, and it's un-American. Bunning is as close to me as you can get in the Senate. from Kentucky. And what's shocking to me is that there's only been three or four people who understand how dangerous this is to give these guys a blank check. One of the best articles on the subject appears on michaelsavage.com, linked up from Asia Times by the anonymous Spengler. Spengler is an anonymous writer who I think is the most brilliant man in the media, and he remains anonymous. We've tried to invite him on the show. He wouldn't come on the show. He retains his anonymity. There have been rumors as to who he may be, but I've always appreciated his genius. And I'd like to quote from the article linked up on michaelsavage.com, just a few, if you don't mind. The title of his article on this debacle is E Pluribus Hocum, or When the Gamblers Bail Out the Casino, by Spengler. And he says, why should American taxpayers give U.S. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson a blank check to bail out the shareholders of busted banks? Why should the Treasury turn itself into a toxic waste dump for their bad loans? Why not let other banks join the unlamented Brothers Lehman in bankruptcy court and start a new bank with taxpayers' money? Did you hear that one? Why not let Goldman Sachs go under? Why not let Morgan Stanley go under, in other words, and start a new bank with taxpayers' money instead of giving it to these clowns? And then he goes on and says, or have the Treasury pay interest on delinquent mortgages and make them whole. Even better, why not let the Chinese or the Saudis or other foreign investors take control of failed American banks? They've got the money, and they gladly would pay a premium for an inside seat at the American table. I'm not so sure I agree with that part of it. But he goes on to say none of the above will occur. America will give between $700 to $800 billion to the Treasury to buy any bank assets it wants on any terms. With no possible legal recourse, it is an invitation to abuse of power unparalleled in American history, in which ill-paid civil servants will set prices on the portfolios of the banking system with no oversight and no threat of legal penalty. One last quote. Why should American households that earn $50,000 a year subsidize Goldman Sachs partners who earn $5 million a year? Why are the voices raised in protest so shrill and few? Why will Americans fall on their fountain pens for their bankers? If America is to adopt socialism, why not have socialism for the poor rather than for the rich? Shall I go on? Or you want to read the whole article by yourself? Let me read a few other quotes from the wonderful anonymous Spengler. Why is Lehman bankrupt and Goldman Sachs still in business? If Secretary Paulson, the former head of Goldman Sachs, had not proposed a general bailout last week, we might already have had the answer to that question. I think you have to have a reasonable IQ to understand what he just said. Did you catch that? Well, read it if you didn't. Then he says, and if the Treasury decided to bail out one bank, let us say Goldman Sachs, rather than another, how would the overseer judge whether that decision was judicious, politically motivated, venal, or arbitrary? Again, you need to have a seventh grade education to read that, because there's a big word in there called venal, which I don't think is used too often in America today, since venality is the middle name of most people in the media. He says, opposition to the Treasury plan is disturbingly thin. 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 They quoted Christopher Dodd, who to me is one of the most questionable men in the U.S. Senate, who said, I know of nobody who is arguing over the amount of money, or even about the secretary, about whether the secretary ought to have the authority to purchase these toxic instruments, these bad debts. In other words, just keep bailing us out. Finally, Mr. Anonymous says, alas for the gamblers of America. They will tax themselves to keep the casino in operation, but it will not profit them. He then asks, where, oh, where is America's Vladimir Putin, who will drive out the oligarchs who have stolen the country's treasure and debased its currency? Now, I am not Spengler, although I would say I'd be proud to be Spengler. He seems to have read my mind. He says, where is Putin, our Putin, who will drive out the oligarchs who have stolen the country's treasure and debased its currency? My sentiments exactly, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the first caller, Glenn in Chico, California. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike, I just want to say I'm a long-time guy here, Paul River, Horror Viewer Society member, and finally...
God bless you. Thank you very much. So how do you feel about all of this?
Basically, I feel that, you know, this guy is responsible for this mess we're in, and we're going to give him all this money to do this? It's ridiculous. He was at Goldman Sachs just up till a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's up until 2 years ago, and it raises issues of conflict of interest that any reasonable person would accept to be rational.
Let me just...
How could you take the people who put us into this position, now say they're going to bail us out of this position, just give us a blank check? And why should we trust George Bush with anything? We're still looking for the WMDs, aren't we?
These guys are trying to ram this down our throat, Mike, and what they're doing is they're trying to tell us we're going to have a crash if we don't do it. This is financial terrorism by any other name.
That's right. It is financial terrorism. It's interesting to me. That's how gangsters run a business. They say to you, here's the pen, sign or else. And that's what they're saying to us, sign or else, Glenn. Now, I have a feeling that I'm making a difference. I have a feeling that a lot of the sentiments I have expressed on this show and a lot of the sentiments that callers like you have expressed on my show over the last 2 weeks are resonating with a few people in Congress and the Senate. Do you believe that's true?
It's just like the Dubai ports deal and the illegal aliens. Finally, the Americans are telling these people this is it. You know, these guys keep trying to pull this crap. They're risking a revolution in this country.
Well, I think the best idea is to say to them, take a walk. Get out of the way. We'll put $1 trillion into a brand new bank, but you're not running it. We're not going to let you run it. We don't trust you. Get out of the way. Who made these people God Almighty?
I have no idea.
Thanks for the call. And, you know, I want to say something else. When he closes his article, Mr. Anonymous, and he says, "We're aware as America's Vladimir Putin, who will drive out the oligarchs who have stolen the country's treasure and debased its currency." You know, that's a good question. Where is our Putin? Where is our Putin? Why do we not have someone saying we're going to get rid of these thieves? You know what happened in Russia after we knocked down the wall, after we encouraged them to go free market? Oligarchs arose who stole the country's treasures. They're living across the world in billion-dollar mansions with $700-800 million ships. 3-4 ships, private yachts, worth $200 million, $500 million, $700 million, properties worth $50 to $100 million here and there. And where did they get that money from? Many of them are former professors in Russia. I'll tell you where they got the money. They paid off the guys who ran the nation's gas industry, and they sold the natural gas out of Russia. They paid guys off who owned the natural resources, such as mineral wealth, sold it off. They sold off Russia's natural wealth to the highest bidder because they bought off corrupt people around the world. If you think that there's no parallel between what the oligarchs of Russia did to Russia and were only stopped when a strong man like Putin came along and what is going on now, you are mistaken. The problem is, where is the strong man? Where is our strong man or woman? I'll be right back.
Savage.
So we are talking about an astonishing demand from the people who crashed the Titanic into the iceberg, the financial iceberg. They're now saying, trust us, leave it to us. We know what we're doing. You know, it's like the Exxon Valdez. Let's forget the Titanic. The captain had turned out of the Valdez that went aground in Prudhoe Bay last decade was drunk. Now, these men are not drunk on alcohol. They're drunk on power. But they're drunk, nevertheless, with their own supremacy. And as you know, hubris can be a very dangerous instrument to guide yourself by. It's a very faulty compass. Tony in New York on WOR, your opinion, please go ahead.
Dr. Savage, it is truly an honor to speak to you. And, you know, all I can say is no taxation without representation. I don't see the representation anywhere. And, you know, Dr. Savage, there was a famous quote that I read. It said, you know, what luck for rulers that men don't think. Hitler. I mean.
Who said that? Who said that?
Hitler. Adolf Hitler said, what luck for rulers that men don't think.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He should have added that men don't think, they only drink.
That Yeah, I mean, pretty soon, right, we're going to be knocking down the vodka like our Ruskies do over there because, you know, it's just ridiculous. And but, you know, Doc Savage, a question, though. I mean, my father always says we get the government we deserve. And the people, who is at fault, really? I mean, we the people are. And, you know, what else can we do, though? I don't know.
I don't take the blame for it. We've been screaming for years to George Bush. He's an imperial president, though. He didn't start the imperial presidency. Richard Nixon did. The imperial presidency began under Richard Nixon. It got worse progressively. Bill Clinton was clearly an emperor. We understand that. They've accumulated too much power in the executive branch. There's no longer a separation of powers, as there should be. I'm shocked that they even have to go before the Senate and the Congress and ask for the money. I'm shocked that Paulson couldn't just write a check. Bush wrote a check for $48 billion last 3 weeks ago to Africa without asking anybody. I'm actually shocked that we even have a government. So I'm actually encouraged that there is some dissension and some questions, Tony, and I don't take any blame whatsoever. How many years have I been asking them to close the border with Mexico? How many years have I been right about the illegal aliens swarming across the border? How many years have I warned us that our hospitals and our schools would melt down? How many years have I said our educational standards will go into the toilet if we don't stop this? How many years have I said this? For 15 years. How many years have others said it? 15 years. Has it had any effect? Some effect here and there. Has it had any effect on George Bush? No. Has it had any effect on the Senate? No. We're about to elect John McCain, who's one of the most tone-deaf people in the Senate. That's right. John McCain, who tried to pass amnesty for illegal aliens, is now held up on a platform like he's the greatest thing in the whole world of government. But we have to take John McCain, don't we? Because the opposition is worse. That's where we're at. So I don't blame me. I don't blame you. I blame the system that doesn't let anybody get near the power structure, Tony.
Yeah. I still think, though, a little bit of it is our fault. I mean, you know, we are, as long as we have our booze, our women, and a place to sleep, people don't care until it gets too late. It's like cancer. You know, you got to stop smoking.
Well, I have studied revolutions since I've been a teenager. And I found out one thing, and I've told this to my audience for 20 years, 15 years. Revolutions never occur, ever, unless people are hungry. Do you know that that's a fact of reality? I cannot think of one revolution that occurred when people's bellies were full. Okay? That's why pork belly futures are still your best bet.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You could see in a time like this, a national crisis like this, why the oligarchs want to constrain or destroy talk radio, especially conservative talk radio. And if you listen to me very carefully, you will notice that I'm not taking the side of the Republican administration, or am I attacking Democrats necessarily, as some are doing. They're simply turning it again into a partisan thing. They did it, they did it, they did it. I don't believe that for a minute. And so I'm trying to give you what I think to be, if someone said to me, what do you think is happening? What needs to be done? This is how I'd answer them. You notice I'm not saying Republicans good, Democrats bad. I'm saying don't listen to the Republicans, as a matter of fact. The Democrats are out of the picture altogether. But, you know, there's something, many things have emerged from this that I've warned you about for at least a year. We heard for years in the 90s that the Democrats were the party of tax and spend. And that was true. Tax and spend. And the Republicans posed as fiscal conservatives until we started to see Bush was a borrow and spend Democrat. So in other words, they're both the same. One says tax and spend. The other says borrow and spend. And so what's going on right now is a continuation of Bush's policy of borrow and spend. He isn't talking about cutting any budgetary items, is he? Did he say for a minute he's cutting off medical care to illegal aliens? He's going to stop throwing billions of dollars at Africa, or billions of dollars to Israel, or billions of dollars to Egypt, or billions of dollars to Georgia? So you say, no, just give me more money. I will do everything we've been doing and then some. Now we'll bail out our friends on Wall Street. I haven't heard one person in Republican administration say, and we'll cut back on. Where's the cutting back on? Now, if you remember during the Dubai ports deal, when they tried to swindle us into turning our port security over to our dear friends in the United Arab Emirates, I raised a loud stink, and that's why they, in my opinion, why they unleashed CARE against me. I can't prove it, but I suspect there's a direct link in that particular issue. And how the court sided with CARE against me, which is why I had dropped the lawsuit. Because, okay, but that's a whole separate story. Likewise today, my friends, likewise today, just as at that time, I found comfort in some of the things that some liberals were saying on the Dubai ports deal. Notably, Charles Schumer agreed with me. He said, no, we shouldn't turn the security of Dubai over of America over to Dubai. No. So I had Schumer on the show. And he came on this show, one of the most liberal senators, and he said, boy, normally, Savage, you disagree with me, but now, okay. So politics makes strange bedfellows. That was then. Now, I want you to listen to the wisdom of Charles Schumer today when he said to Paulson, wait a minute, why do we have to give you the whole $700 billion? What if I give you $150 billion, you come back in January and show us what you did with it, we give you more? I want you to listen to this interchange right now. Go ahead, please.
Why couldn't you ask us for $150 billion and on January 15th or January 20th, we would come back, we'd assess how this worked, and grant some more money if it's really working? Maybe, you know, the markets will have stabilized and you actually will have made money. Why ask for the full $700 billion? I never thought I'd think that $150 billion is a low sum of money, but compared to $700 billion, it is. And I think it would make people sit not easily, but at least a little easier.
To your basic question, we think we need the full authority for that size to do the job and stabilize the markets.
Could you live with less?
That does not mean that it's going to be invested, be spent between now and January.
Did you hear that? Wait a minute. He said it's not going to be spent between now and January, but give it to me anyway. But where is it going to be? Have you ever heard of a guy saying, give me $700 billion that you don't owe me? I don't care for $700 billion. Let's say a guy comes to you and says, I'm in trouble. I need $7,000. And you say, well, what for? He says, well, I'm going to make sure I can cover my bets. Say, well, wait a minute. I'll tell you what. I'll give you $1,500 now, and I'll give you another $5,500 if you show me you spent the $1,500 wisely. Otherwise, you're liable to gamble it away. If you've got a degenerate gambler, many of you understand what I'm talking about. If you understand gamblers, they're sick. And they're degenerate gamblers. There's a word for a degenerate gambler. Is somebody that no matter what, he'll gamble it away. To me, Paulson's like a degenerate gambler who just said to his father, Schumer, in the Senate, no, you can't give me a partial payment. I need the whole sum. Why? He said, well, I'm not going to gamble it away, Dad. It doesn't mean I'm going to gamble it away. He said, it doesn't mean, but we need it anyway. We need the whole sum to do the job. What job? What do you mean the job? What the heck is this? I never heard anything like this in my life. So here's Schumer saying, I'll give you $150 billion, come back in January. Paulson says, no, we want the whole amount now. Doesn't mean we're going to spend it, but we want it. Why? Why does he want it? Show me what you're going to do with it. And why should you get it? You're the guy who crashed the economy into the iceberg. Victoria in New York disagrees. That's why we have freedom of speech in America. Victoria, thank you for listening and calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Listen, I listen to your show as much as I possibly can, and I almost always agree with a lot of what you say, but I just want to disagree with you on the whole bailout because there's so many more facets to it than you're saying. I mean, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley were more victims of what Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns did, which was have a ton of these fraudulent bad loans on their books, and they were mismarking them. They were marking them much more than they were worth. And Goldman Sachs, for example, has everything marked correctly, but because of everything that's happened throughout the whole financial sector, everyone's pulling. They are doing a run on the bank. And Goldman Sachs...
Wait, let's slow down. Wait a minute. You're saying that Goldman Sachs and Morgan, the two survivors of the Big Five, are the victims? You're not saying the people who went out of business at Bear Stearns are the victims?
Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers were completely mismarked. And what that means is these financial institutions mark their books daily where they should be worth. And when these loans started to fail and...
Well, hold on. How do you know this to be a fact?
I'm in the business. I used to be in the business. My husband's in the business.
All right. Well, let me say I take you on your word, even though I have no reason to do so. Why has there been no arrest of the leading figures at Morgan at Lehman and Bear Stearns? Why are they not under indictment? Why are they not in the tombs right now in New York City?
They will be, but they have to be investigated by the SEC.
Oh, what do you mean they will be? They just pulled off, you say, cooking the books, and you're telling me they're still running around with their Rolls Royces and the Greenwich houses and the Swiss castles? Why is that? Why are they not in prison? Or under indictment. Let us say under indictment investigation. Where is that going? Who's investigating them? Chris Cox? Chris Cox let him get away with it. Explain to me, since we're friends, not enemies, how they got away with this so long. Who was overseeing them?
Well, what happened was they were getting away with it because they were mismarking things. And when the economy really, really started, because we were in this recession, right, when everything they have no cash to start paying out. They have to sell these assets at cheap, cheap levels. Then they have no money left, and it's a run on their bank. And then they have to admit all their fraud. And that's why Lehman couldn't sell themselves, because they had fraudulent books.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm hearing you because you're like a cousin, okay? You're a straight talker. Okay, so they had fraudulent books. In other words, they committed fraud. Where have you seen a federal agency or agent of the federal government stating what you just said?
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but this goes to the whole question of why they need $700 billion right away, because it's a time issue, is that just like we don't want this country to fall into depression, but let me tell you, if Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley fails, then what's next? Chase and Citibank? I mean, then we will really be in trouble. So it's a time issue. You're talking about a run on the bank. These banks are facing banks that Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley have turned themselves
Victoria, I hear you, but let me ask another question. Since there's been no oversight of the Lehman Brothers swindlers, according to you, nor of the Bear Stearns swindlers, according to you, why should we assume there is oversight right now of these people?
And sat down with Bear Stearns and with Lehman Brothers. He tried to get somebody to help Lehman Brothers. He tried to hook them up with a bank so that people started to feel safe with their deposits at Lehman Brothers. He tried everything he could, and their assets were so, so bad that no one would. He did everything he could to help them. He could not help them.
All right. So what about the idea that instead of giving this guy, this wonderful Sterling Boy Scout, $700 billion to do as he wishes with no oversight whatsoever, and we're going to subsidize Goldman Sachs partners who earn $5 million a year at least, which, of course, makes no sense to me. Why can't we do what Mr. Spengler suggested, which is take the money and start a new bank that's owned by the government?
Well, who's going to run that? I mean, there will be far, far-reaching repercussions if you let these two firms fail. And actually, they're not failing because they've turned themselves into banks and they let themselves be regulated by the FDIC. Why? Because they know they've done
nothing. No. The reason they turned themselves into banks while there was a football game over the weekend is so they can dip into the Federal Reserve. You know that and I know that. That was one of the most disgusting moves I've ever seen in my life. Bernanke let them do that on Sunday while most schmucks in America were barbecuing, standing there with their schmuck shorts on. Over the weekend, they said, okay, now we're a commercial bank. Now we can dip into the Federal Reserve. Come on. That's a swindle job.
They work their butts off trying to figure out a solution because, you know what, they're good firms that are trying to figure out a solution.
I'm sure they're good firms for themselves and for their investors. But, you know, I have in my lifetime seen businesses come and go. Why shouldn't banks be able to come and go? Why shouldn't the bank that made bad bets go out of business?
I really don't know this. It's a shame that you're making all these stupid statements because you're ignorant on this. Sorry.
I can guarantee you that I'm worth more than you are. I can guarantee you my net worth is 10 times greater than yours is. So don't assume just because I'm a talk show host I'm poor. Don't make that assumption. I don't work for MSNBC.
Mentality on how much money they make. My father.
You don't? Then why are you turning your trust to Mr. Paulson? What trust should you give him? What is it based upon? That he's wealthier than you? You look up to him like he's a demigod. On what basis do you trust this man other than his wealth?
I know he's trying to not put this country in a depression, sir. That's what's going on.
How do you know that?
know it for a fact. Trust me.
Well, I don't trust you. You're just a voice on the radio. We don't know who you are. I suspect you work for Goldman Sachs.
Thank you for the call.
They always assume that a talk show host is a poor schmuck who doesn't make a living. They confuse us with newspaper writers. They confuse us with college professors. But I can guarantee you that that's not necessarily so. I can guarantee you that aside from the radio business, some of us have learned a bit here and there along the way about making a decent investment, guarding our money, not blowing our money, not spending it unwisely. We've studied sufficient to know how to run our lives, and we've done okay. Don't assume that we're poorer than the guy sitting up there on a pedestal. In fact, the guy on the pedestal belongs in jail, in my opinion. I would like to see some of these guys imprisoned instead of giving pompous speeches with a I'd like to see them in a pair of handcuffs being given the perp walk, and I'd like to see forensic accountants put in instead of them. I'd like to get rid of them. I want them out of the picture. These are the guys who ran the ship into the iceberg. I don't trust them. Do you? I'll be back.
Savage.
To the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street, and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them.
Yeah, well, that's the new Pledge of Allegiance. Your country is gone. It went up in smoke a while ago. And how many months have I said to you, not somewhat sarcastically, it's what's good for Goldman Sachs is good for America. I saw this coming. I told you this for months. I watched this for 6 months now. I saw where this was going. I watched this guy's act. I didn't believe any of it. I've studied history. I know what went on in France in the last century, in an early part of the century. I've seen Ponzi schemes in my own lifetime. I've watched Bush spend like a madman. I called him King Ludwig II. I've seen all of this coming. Now we wake up, and right in our backyard, on top of all of this, Russia has sent the nuclear-powered flagship Peter the Great off to Venezuela. It has 80 nuclear-tipped missiles on it. It is accompanied by the submarine destroyer Admiral Chabanenko and two support vessels. And it's heading to our wonderful, wonderful friend, that troublemaking monkey, Chavez, in Venezuela. And this is going on at the same time. The article is on michaelsavage.com from the London Times. It is chilling to believe that we have the Cold War all over again. And to top it off, Putin has said he wants to send missiles back to Cuba. If you think this could not escalate, you're mistaken. And why do you think we're having trouble with Russia right now? George Bush the bungler, number one. Number two, that moron in the State Department, Condoleezza Rice, who was never, ever more than a school mom, never qualified to do anything but run a Stanford University, and at that maybe a single department. And here's this woman who threatens Putin and challenges Putin, forcing a showdown over Georgia, which is now escalating into Putin sending nuclear-powered warships right into our own sphere of influence. So you're saying to me I should now trust this same group, this group in the Bush White House, who has mismanaged virtually everything they've touched, that it's all coming apart toward the end of his administration? Is, you know, the old word, the old phrase, coming home to roost. The chickens are coming home to roost. The man has mismanaged this country from day one. There hasn't been a day of honesty in this administration so far as I could tell. And we're not finished yet. I told you there's 3 big months left. I don't know that we can get through these 3 months. Now, I said that there are some positive signs. And the positive signs are mainly coming from the few Republican senators worth their name. Three of them stood up today to the Bush machine, the Bush juggernaut, and they said basically no to Comrade Bush, no to Comrade Paulson, no to Comrade Bernanke. They said, no, we're not going to do it. They're saying, hell no, we won't go. They're saying no to the bailout. And, of course, we have the liberal Democrat Schumer saying, well, maybe we'll give you $150 billion to start. How about coming back in January for the rest? No. No, says Paulson. Comrade Paulson says, no, I need it all. I need it all or it's all going to come tumbling down. Well, first of all, I'm not so sure it'll all come tumbling down. That's number one. Maybe his friends will come tumbling down. Maybe there will be no investment banks left on Wall Street. So who cares? What do I need an investment bank for? Have you ever gone to an investment bank in your life? Now, I'm gonna backtrack to show you something here. I remember, you know, I'm thinking about banks, banking. I'm not a banker, but I go back to when I was a kid. I started working when I was 5 years old at Little Jobs in my father's store. He taught me how to mark down comic books from 10 cents to 5 cents and resell them on the streets of the Bronx. And he said to me, you can take a perfectly good comic book that you read and resell it. I could not believe when a kid came up and gave me 5 cents after I had read the comic book. So I learned what capitalism was. In other words, there's a market for anything. And from that, from those humble beginnings, I started putting money away. And I remember when I was a little kid, nine, I had a savings account in Bankers Trust Company. I'd babysit, I'd work at a candy store, whatever. And I would put money in my bank every week. And I used to love to go in and see the teller stamp it. Can you imagine? Deposited $25. Deposited $12, and it would add up. And I was the only kid in the neighborhood who had a bank account. The other kids used to marvel that I would be so frugal as to save my money. But I loved that little bank account. I learned about interest. And I found out that if you put away $1,000 when you're a kid, hey, it could be worth $200,000 when you're an old man. I couldn't believe about a thing called interest. It was a magic to me that there was a thing called interest. So I started saving my money. I earned some interest. And from those humble beginnings, I've worked very hard. I've had some setbacks, mainly through affirmative action and social engineering. They almost derailed my life and destroyed me. But we shall overcome. If you're made of the right stuff, nothing will stand in your way, and nothing has stood in my way. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me that I'm wrong, because I'm right. I say no. Niet. Thumbs down to the comrades. Let them go out of business.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Plan will spend $700 billion worth of taxpayers' money to prop up and clean up the balance sheets of Wall Street. This massive bailout is not a solution. It is a financial socialism, and it's un-American.
I never thought I'd think that $150 billion is a low sum of money, but compared to $700 billion, it is, and I think it would make people sit not easily, but at least a little easier.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Bailout under fire is the leading screaming headline on MichaelSavage.com. We've been talking about this, the so-called bailout. And to me, the most telling soundbite of it all is this one. When Democrat liberal Senator Charles Schumer got up today and he said to Mr. Paulson, our Treasury Secretary, what if we give you $150 billion now and you come back to us in 3 months in January for the rest of the money and you show us what you've done with it? And Paulson says, no, yet all or nothing, or else we'll go bankrupt, or else the country will go belly up. To me, something stinks. And that's why I refer to the article by Spengler on michaelsavage.com from Asia Times, when the gamblers bail out the casino. It's worth reading. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm going to read some headlines, take your calls on the Savage Nation. I'm going to talk again, commonsensical, and I hope that you understand that just because I may have a truck driver's accent, or I may sound as though I'm an uneducated man who's not worth a dime, don't make the mistake of misjudging me. Although I may not sound the same as some of these slick spokesmouths that you're hearing on television, trust me that I may know more than I allege to know or sound as though I know about finances, number one. And number two, I have believed in the capitalist system from the day I was a youngster and started with my first bank account at Bankers Trust in New York, which is long gone, as I told you in the last hour. Saving from the time I was seven with a little savings book. I learned what interest was. I thought it was a neat idea. Years later, just to give you a little primer on capitalism and why I believe in it, the years I spent collecting plants as a pure idealist in the Fiji Islands, Samoa, Tonga, Palmyra, you name it, for many, many years, researching and finding my own sources of funding in my own research, rather, to the expense of my own family. I've always been an idealist, but I've always gotten by one way or the other. When I was in Fiji in the late 60s collecting plants, I remember seeing a furniture store that opened, and with big, big signs on the window, it said, "Buy furniture with no money down." It was a novelty in Fiji. The people were very poor, the Indians and Fijians. And, of course, they would have to pay huge interest payments. But I thought, you know what? At least they're going to get furniture in their houses. They're going to be able to put nice furniture in their poor, humble huts or their poor houses. They're going to have furniture, a couch, chairs, you know. Why? Because they could buy on time. So I said, I actually believe in buying on time and making credit payments. That's the way the system works. And I've always believed in it. Otherwise, most of you listening to the show wouldn't be, you wouldn't own a house, you wouldn't own a condominium, you wouldn't own a car. It's much different than when I was a kid, when, of course, my father took out a mortgage for, I don't know, $14,000 in the 50s for his first our house, which he lived in his entire adult life and passed away in. They didn't move up. They didn't need to move up. They could have if they wanted to strap themselves. If my father was a show-offy type, he could have sold that house three times over and moved to a detached house in Jamaica States. Oh, boy. And he could have moved up from an Oldsmobile to a Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? But he said, you know what? I don't need it. This works for me. Instead, he was frugal. He put his money away. And when he passed away 38 years ago, and he left my mother a widow, he left her with a house paid off, and he left her with enough money to live on the rest of her life. Not a lot of money, a little money. But that's the way those men ran their lives in those days. If he bought a car, he paid cash. He thought it was cheating to buy a car that you couldn't afford. He said, what are you kidding me? I need to drive around in a big car to show off? No, I'm going to buy a car. All right, so that's how they thought then. No one thinks that way today. Today, it's borrow, 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 and it's the same for the government. And as I told you before, we've had such changes in this country that's hard to keep up with. I'm very lucky, and you're luckier than I am. You're luckier that you have me to listen to. You are luckier than I am. I'm lucky that God has kept me alive this long. Thank God, knock wood. And you're lucky that I'm here with the wisdom that I can share with you. And all of the decades I've been here in America watching the world go around, and I've seen things change, and I can put things together. I have an uncanny gift for watching very complex occurrences and reducing them to the simplest terms. And I didn't say simpleton terms. I said to the simplest terms. Because I learned in my years in science that the essence of science was reducing things to the simplest terms in order to understand them. I learned from some great men in science, some men you never heard of, who you will never hear of, in fields you're not interested in, but they were geniuses nevertheless. They would come to my desk and sweep all the rubbish away and say, listen, here's how to figure this out. They were old school. They taught me to stop the rubbish and stop the detailed calculations and use common sense the way Einstein did it. Einstein used common sense to come up with the theory of relativity. He didn't need complex models to discover it, and nor did he need computer modeling to understand the theory of relativity. He created it out of his head. because he had a great mind. And so what I'm telling you is this is not as complex as they're making it. These guys have specialized in hoodwinking investors, number one, into following them. And believe me, I go back so far that I know what a boiler room is on Wall Street. I knew someone who was in the boiler room business. He eventually went to jail. I've also watched The Sopranos. I know what a boiler room is. Now you say, well, these guys are not running a boiler room. Yes, they are. What was called a boiler room in the 60s is what an investment bank is today. The difference is the guys in the boiler room may not have gone to Yale. They didn't go to Harvard. Maybe their suits were a little sharper and their collars were a little higher. You know what I'm saying? They didn't go to the same schools. And they spoke with a little rougher accent. But make no mistake about it, a boiler room in the 60s is what these investment banks are today. They're selling garbage, and they had people investing in garbage, and then they were trading the garbage for more garbage and making money on every trade. And now suddenly the house of cards is collapsing, and these boiler room operators are coming to us and saying, give me a check for $700 billion. So Congressman Issa says, no way this is going to happen. God bless him. You got Senator Bunning saying, what are you kidding me? This is socialism. God bless him. Then you got even Charles Schumer, liberal Democrat, saying, well, how about a compromise, Hank? How about if I give you $150 billion to continue running the casino? And Hank says, no, I want the I need the whole $700 billion, even though I won't spend it. This is unbelievable how you people, you see, you've been led to believe it's too complex for you to follow. Use common sense. It isn't that complex. Now, how many times in your life have you started a business that's failed if you have not worked for a government agency? Maybe a couple of times you've tried and failed. I know I have. I've tried things that have not worked. They failed. But the mark of a man is not what he fails at, but what he succeeds at and whether he keeps trying. He could die a poor man and be the most successful man on earth because he kept trying. Because maybe the next hole that he bore, the wildcatter would have been a gusher, if you know what I'm saying. In other words, he didn't quit. He kept trying. That's all you judge a man by, whether he gives up or not. And so what I'm saying to you is, take a look at what's going on. Use common sense. Use household economics. Use Adam Smith's economics. Whatever you want to do, use any simple model and apply it to this matrix that they're putting in front of you, and you'll come up with the right answer. And what you're saying is, wait a minute. They've spent money that isn't theirs over and over again. They used instruments, fiduciary instruments that didn't exist a few years ago, and it's all collapsed around them. And so, therefore, now they want us to bail them out, and we should say no. Let them go out of business. They're saying they'll pull the whole country down with them. Are you sure of that? Are you sure they'll pull the whole country down with them? I'm not so sure of that. In fact, I think it would be healthy for the country to see a few banks go out of business. I mean these Wall Street investment banks. What's the big deal? What does it matter to me if they go out of business? Now, of course, when it comes to commercial banks, we can't afford to see that happen. Okay? What if you have your life savings in a savings bank, or you've put it into T-bills? We absolutely can't afford to see that happen. But why are we to assume that the collapse of another two investment banks is going to bring down the entire commercial banking system? Why? Why should we believe that? Now I'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. One man's opinion, the Savage Nation. Las Vegas, Ruth, welcome to the program. What do you think?
Hello, Mr. Savage. You know, I'm one of those mentally defective liberals who's about to register independent, and I listen to you because of your grasp of history and your intelligence. I mean, you're so right on. I cannot believe some of the things
you're saying. Well, do I make sense today or don't I?
Oh, good heavens, yes. We're supposed to bail out the criminals and make the naive people that fell for it suffer. Is that what they want us to do?
Yeah, I'm saying there are consequences to bad behavior. Hasn't that been the lecture of the conservative movement forever now? Let the child pay the consequences for a behavior. Let him go to jail. Let them work it out. That's how we raise children. In other words, when kids got into a little tussle, when the kids were young, we had a rule. Well, let them fight it out. Let them push each other till one wins or whatever. And you stop it if it gets too bad. You know what I'm saying? And if a kid got into trouble, you say, well, I'm sorry. You made the mistake, not me. You try to make sure the mistake wasn't too big for your own child. So you're telling me these overgrown yuppies on Wall Street who gambled with other people's money, created fiduciary instruments that were faulty, ran a boiler room under the guise of being a legitimate fiduciary instrument. We're supposed to now say, I'm sorry if you got a business. I feel bad for you. Why shouldn't they pay the consequences for their bad behavior?
How stupid do they think we are?
How stupid do they think we are? Let me tell you, very stupid. If more Americans know who won American Idol, if more Americans know which moron threw a ball yesterday than which moron is trying to suck out their life savings, then believe me, we're stupider than you may imagine. And of course, as a great wit of the 1920s wrote, no one has ever gone broke by underestimating the intelligence of the average American. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let me go on to my website. I want to read you the headlines that I've picked. As I said to you, there are much better websites than mine. But my site's attracting a lot of attention because most of you don't have time to read every website in the world. That's my job. So I pick from the best. And then I put an occasional of my own editorial in here and there. I call it a blog now. It used to be called an editorial or a letter to the editor. Now it's a new word, blog. In my day, it was a letter to the editor that was usually thrown in the garbage. Now everyone who writes a letter to the editor creates their own website, and they're a blogger. Most of them aren't worth 10 cents, but they're bloggers, you know. Bailout under fire. When the gamblers bail out the casino. Savage autobiography. That's right. Michael Savage, psychological nudity. Special offer ends September 29th, and I'm not kidding. GOP reacts to bailout bill with grim anger, reluctant willingness. UN chief calls for global leadership. Taxpayers shoulder $1 trillion deficit. SEC chairman Cox under fire. Obama and Ayers pushed radicalism on schools. Don't miss that article. Judge won't drop L.A. obscenity case after mistrial. That's the pornographer in L.A. A judge said we're going to go ahead with the trial anyway. It's a complex one. Sopranos actor goes to trial and police officers killing, but he was whining on the stand saying that drugs did it. That punk. Sopranos actor Lil, I won't even read his name, that punk. I spit on him. He's going to trial and a police officer's killing says that although the cop died, he didn't pull the trigger and drugs are to blame. I say burn him. Give him old Sparky. Teach him a lesson that just because you were in two episodes of The Sopranos, I don't give a damn who you are. You're still a punk piece of garbage. Russia engages in gangland diplomacy, sends warship to Caribbean. Huge story. Oh, my God. The nuclear-powered flagship Peter the Great set off for Venezuela with the submarine destroyer Admiral Chabanenko and two support vessels. Well, I have a little opinion on that one, too, which is most of these ships are junk. The Russian Navy is garbage, although they have 60 nuclear-tipped missiles, and I don't like that. I would say that I would say we should have a showdown with them at sea, and they should sink those ships, because our Navy is about 50,000 times better than the Russian Navy. And if Putin wants to play chicken, we should sink those ships on their way back. And indicative of the fact that their Navy is garbage is the fact that they have a tugboat in the flotilla in case one of their ships breaks down. 1-800-449-8255. There are other stories. Police say officer feared insulin pump was weapon, so they beat up a motorist almost to death. Don't you love the level of police they're getting now in some of these departments? Police officers, so-called, in two Detroit suburbs are accused of beating a motorist who was suffering a diabetic episode on the freeway. They almost beat him to death with nightsticks. You know why? He pulled out not a gun, but an insulin pump. Here in India, CEO murdered by mob of fired workers. That's all. They have a little different system in India. We heard of Bangalore, Bangladesh. So a mob of sacked workers bludgeoned to death the CEO who dismissed them from a factory in a suburb of Delhi. They didn't call talk radio. They didn't call complaining. They just went over there with a mob and gave him a beating. See, that's the difference, and that's why I'm a value to this country. This is the value of talk radio. We're actually a safety valve. The worst thing Nancy Pelosi and her gang could do is shut us down because the safety valve would go away, and the real crazy people who use my show and other shows like it to vent might become like these mobs in India. So they should really think before they act. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, the American taxpayer. Wall Street pirates get pots of gold and bailout. U.S. Customs stop deporting Haitians. These are all stories on MichaelSavage.com. Savage's psychological nudity bears more than politics. And on the bottom left, more men are suffering manorexia. It says anorexia is increasing at a faster rate among men than women. And they say as the beauty and fashion industry puts a greater focus on males, it's mainly gays. It's mainly from reading gay magazines. They want to look like girls.
Savage.
This is a difficult period for the American people. I very much appreciate the fact that congressional leaders and the administration are working closely together so that we can help the American people by quickly enacting a program to stabilize our financial system.
Now, let's pause right. All right, listen. He's saying he's doing it to help the American people. To me, I think he's trying to help Wall Street. And I say, well, okay, Wall Street is the American people. To a certain extent, that's true. But how is he going to help the American people when these are the people who hurt the American people? So the people who hurt the American people are now saying, give me $1 trillion and we'll help the American people who we just hurt. And trust us, we don't want $150 billion. Give us the whole $700 billion. As I said to you, I know what a boiler room is. It's a phrase that is used for a they were basically criminals who ran fake stock sales companies or operations, mainly penny stocks or out-of-market stocks. And they ran up fake reports, for example, in one of the programs, The Sopranos, again, to keep using it, I overuse it, I admit that. Many of you don't watch it, but I was very familiar with boiler rooms a long time ago because somebody tried to swindle me who ran a boiler room. I never invested, though. But they would take a company, let's call it Ajax Oil Company, and they would make fake stories up about Ajax Oil. They'd say Ajax is drilling in Oklahoma. And then the next report would say Ajax discovers large find of oil. Then the boiler room operator, one of the shysters in the operation, would call you up. Hello, doctor. I got a very hot investment for you. Ajax Oil just struck oil in Oklahoma. Doctor is busy guy. Oh, could you send me? Sure. We'll send you the report. But look, doctor, I can send you that report, but it's not going to arrive. In those days, there was no faxes yet. It won't arrive for a couple of days. I'm suggesting you tie it up right now because it's going to rise immediately. So the doctor says to the swindler, okay, I'll buy X thousand shares. Meanwhile, there was nothing. There was no oil. There's no Ajax Oil Company. It was created by the boiler room operators. It's no different to me than what the investment banks have been doing on Wall Street. In essence, they were all boiler rooms. If you analyze that they were selling worthless paper, how do they differ from the gangsters of the 60s who were running boiler rooms, other than they didn't have vowels at the end of their name? And I'm not saying that because I'm implying that anyone with a vowel at the end of their name is a gangster, but you get the picture. I'm doing broad strokes here. I don't have a lot of time. And maybe their accents were a little finer than the guys who ran the boiler rooms. I'm sure their suits are a little different, but it's the same thing. It's a boiler room. So now the guy who's run the boiler room and they've been caught, instead of going to jail, as would have happened in my day, the SEC would have cracked down, come in with cops, FBI, grabbed their records, put them in handcuffs, and thrown them in the paddy wagon. Today, they go to Congress, and they say, give me more money to gamble with more money, because it's not really a boiler room. In fact, we're going to invent a new fiduciary instrument called bad debt, and we're going to sell it to someone. We don't know who, but trust us. We're going to make money on it, maybe. And if we do, you're going to get it back. So Charles Schumer says, I'll give you $150 billion today. How about coming back for the other money in January? No, I need the whole $700 billion, but I won't spend it. What? Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? I have never heard anything like this in my life. So there it is. Now, do you agree or disagree with me? Many of you are brainwashed Bushbots who don't know what's going on, but you listen to the wrong radio shows who are saying he knows that he's doing bailout or you'll all pay. I don't believe we'll all pay. Now, if we were having a discussion about saving a major commercial bank from going under, or a couple of them, it might be a different story. But this is not a commercial bank we're talking about. They only made themselves into commercial banks Sunday night while you, the schmuck, were walking around with your shorts, barbecuing like a big moron. These guys, the boiler room operators, turned themselves into semi-commercial banks so they could dip their beaks into the Federal Reserve and then say that if we go under, you go under. Do you understand this is a gigantic fraud occurring right under your nose? But it's of such a magnitude that it doesn't look like fraud. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is my opinion of it. You say, well, how do you know anything? What do you know? I don't know. How do I know anything? How did I get where I am? By not knowing anything? I got where I am by being stupid? I got where I am by saying nonsense? By talking about underwear and brassieres? No, I got here by making common sense come alive for the American people. I got here by having people say, that's exactly my thoughts. I got here by helping people articulate what they're thinking, but they don't have the time to articulate because they're busy doing other things. As Mallarmé, the poet, wrote, and I don't want to sound too effete, but some of the French phrases were perfect. And I forget the French phrase, but it's to make more clear the words of the tribe. I have already forgotten how to say it in French. It's been so long since I've spoken French well that I won't mangle it. To make more clear the words of the tribe was the work of the poet in his writing, meaning the writer. Well, to make more clear the words of the tribe is the work of the articulate talk show host. That's what I'm doing for you. I am making more clear the words of the tribe. And the tribe says, if it seems like fraud being run by a gang, if it walks like a fraud being run by a gang, it must be a fraud being run by a gang. David in New York on WOR, welcome to the program. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to say I used to be a broker. I have an MBA from Northwestern and a CPA, and I think you're right on target. One of the things I learned when I was in the brokerage business, which was only for a few years, but the analysts on Wall Street were the most worthless people I ever saw. All these major brokerage firms with all these geniuses had a buy order on Enron on the very day they filed for bankruptcy.
So they were scamming people, in other words.
Well, they didn't know what they were doing. They couldn't read the financials. They couldn't understand them. And many of them were lazy. And what's going
but
on now?
David, you go back long enough to know what a boiler room is. Isn't that correct?
Yes. I know what the boiler room is, yes.
Okay. And it's an interesting phrase that Savage says that Wall Street crooks who run boiler rooms are now trying to ask us to bail them out. That's an interesting analysis. But let me ask you this as a CPA and an MBA. Do you agree with me that if these two investment banks went under, it would not necessarily pull down the entire American economy?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I think that, remember, Paulson only made his move after Lehman Brothers went under, and they felt Goldman and Morgan Stanley would survive. He didn't do the same thing with Lehman Brothers, but the stocks of Goldman hit like $88 a share. And that's when they came out with this plan. Sunday night, it usually takes 5 to 30 days to get approved to become a commercial bank. They approved these two investment banks to be commercial banks overnight. Paulson's, all of his buddies are still at Goldman Sachs. He's only been gone for 2 years. I mean, there should be no taxpayer money at all put behind this. None.
David,
whatsoever.
You see, I don't have an MBA in finance, and I don't have a CPA, but I have sufficient native grasp of things and sufficient higher degrees in other fields to read things correctly. And I thank you for articulating what I've already said, but in, let us say, more succinct terms. I'll give you that credit, and I thank you very much. Does anyone disagree with me? Because this is an open dialogue. We had a woman calling who was quite angry at me. She said that I'm ignorant because I don't understand higher finance, and I challenged her, and I suspect that she works for one of the investment banks. Remember, there are thousands of people who work for these banks, many of whom listened to this show and liked me until now, just as there were many other people who liked me until a certain point. But it doesn't mean I have to change my analysis to make you like me. Then I'd be a politician and run for office, God forbid. If I were willing to change my opinion in order to win a popularity contest, I'd run for the Senate against Dianne Feinstein or Barbara Boxer or something to that effect. Or I'd move to another state like that engorged comedian has done in order to run against the Republican and I would run for Congress. I have no idea why I'd want to be in Congress. It's a tough business. It has to be the toughest way to make a living in the world if you're an honest man. I don't know why anybody would want to be. You know, it's a tough job. I'm serious. To be an honest politician has to be the hardest job on earth, much harder than being a talk show host in some ways, in some ways. But let's not go there. You know, I have done a fairly good job today and yesterday. And as you know, I've had an incident. I'm not 100% back. Rick Roberts has been filling in for me in the third hour of each day. Rick's doing a great job. And Rick will be with us in the next hour until I'm 100%. And I'm getting there, I hope. But I want to say to you that another man would have said, you know what, I'm taking 2 weeks off. I'm going to just leave it. I'm blowing this off for 2 weeks. I need to get back to where I was. I can't take 2 weeks off. I can't take 2 days off. Because the people who believe in me, of whom there are millions, want my opinion on what's going on. And I say niet to the comrades on Wall Street. I say niet to Henry Paulson. I say niet to Mr. Cox. I say niet to that stooge Bernanke who came out of nowhere. And I say, get out the handcuffs, start arresting and investigating, and put, if you have to, forensic accountants onto this. And let the chips fall where they may. And if another two investment banks go under, what do I care? How is it going to affect you if the last two investment banks on Wall Street go bankrupt? Can you explain that to me? You know, you're saying, well, they're no longer investment banks. They become commercial banks. You're right. Well, investigate that. How did they presto magico become commercial banks so they could dip their beaks into the Federal Reserve? Why? Because the chairman of the Federal Reserve said, okay. They had a nice dinner somewhere, a $10,000 bottle of wine. They had cigars, and they say, look, the schmucks are watching television tonight, some dancing show, and tomorrow they're going to watch a football game. Let's become commercial banks so they can't touch us. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, I just got a story from my good friend Joe Farah, who sent it from England. Doctors told to curb use of Ritalin in hyperactive children. Now, that's in England, of course, not in America, where the drug establishment is out of control. The medical pharmaceutical establishment is so out of control here that they're drugging children with Ritalin under the age of five. England has been very reluctant to drug their children to death, but the prescription rate went off the charts, and they just now said no, no, no. The story will be up on michaelsavage.com. I was right. I mean, I was right on this in 1982. I'm right about it today. I'm right about a lot of things. Just that when you're ahead of your time, people get mad at you. Now, there's another breaking story that just came out that's going to go up on the website, and this is such good news. Maybe it's a result of us screaming loud enough. Finally, we were heard by the FBI. This came out 49 minutes ago. Sources say FBI investigating Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Lehman Brothers, and AIG. I say thank God. Did you hear this? You know, the FBI is our court of last resort in this country. We have no voice. And I have to say, Mr. Mueller, who runs the FBI, apparently is independent. He's going after an investigation of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Lehman Brothers, and AIG. I have a little suggestion for the FBI investigators. Here's how I'd start. I'd use common sense. I'd go to the board members of Fannie and Freddie, most of whom were Democrats. And I'd say, how much were you worth? What was your net worth before you became a board member? Don't give me a double talk here with the hat and the oh and the ha and the he. How much were you worth? How much were you worth after you were on the board of Fannie and Freddie? Thank you very much. Dismissed. And then start there. Then go to Lehman Brothers. Find out who made money on that scam. Go to the AIG bailout. Find out who made money and who lost money. So all you got to ask yourself, if you keep it simple, if you're in the FBI and you keep it simple, you'll get the answers. If you let these swindlers tell you what to ask them, you're finished. I'm telling you how this works. Don't let them set the game up. You got to set the game up. You know, cops are very often misinterpreted as being stupid. But in my experience, detectives and cops are very smart. And in their own way, they can get to the truth if they're dogged in their endeavor and they really care about things. They're going to figure out who they can smell out a situation. You know what I'm saying? So the FBI is going to investigate Fannie, Freddie, Lehman, and AIG. That's a very good first step. I pray to God the truth comes out. And I'm going to make another couple of suggestions here on the Savage Nation as I close down this hour before we go to Rick Roberts, who's going to, again, drive me into the poorhouse because he's giving the books away. He's giving away psychological nudity to the extent that I'm going broke. But Rick's going to be here to cajole you through the next hour. Rick's terrific. And here's what I want to say. The guys at Treasury, Goldman and Morgan, are saying we should bail them out. So I'm saying, you know what? How about some good faith money from you fellas? How much is your property in Southampton, East Hampton, West Hampton, Northampton, all the Hamptons worth? You got a beach house there worth $93 million. You got a townhouse in Manhattan worth, what, $32 million? Let's see, you got a Gulfstream 5 that's worth $56 million. I want you to collateralize that, and I want you to transfer ownership to the U.S. Treasury. I want you to transfer ownership of all your properties, Mr. Goldman Sachs. I want you to transfer all your properties, Mr. Morgan Stanley, because you're asking us for a bailout. If you go for a loan listening to this show, don't you have to put up collateral today? Is there no such thing as collateral anymore? How many of you could get a non-collateralized loan today? None of you. Do you follow what I'm saying? So in other words, ask them to put up their personal property for collateral since they're asking us to bail them out. Quid pro quo. And get something out of them? How about the building you're sitting in, a Goldman Sachs? What's it worth, $1 billion? Didn't Morgan Stanley get the Bear Stearns building, which was worth $1 billion, for a song? Well, why don't you ask Morgan Stanley to put up the building they're sitting in now, which is not theirs anyway, which they got through the House of Cards anyway. Make them collateralize their request. They're asking for $700 billion. So let them put up some property worth under $5 billion total. If you add up the houses in Vail, Palm Beach, the Hamptons, Manhattan, Washington, D.C., whatever, the total from all the directors of both companies is not probably going to equal $5 billion. So now what percent is $5 billion of a trillion? The answer is 5%. So the answer is very low. You say, we're only asking for 5% collateral. I realize I'm not as smart as you guys, but I could do math pretty quick. I figured out we're only asking for 5% down as collateral. That's a pretty good deal. If I went for a loan for $100,000 and the banker says you got to put down $5,000 to get $100,000, I'd give him $5,000 in a minute for such a loan. So why shouldn't you if you're so sure you know what to do with it? I mean, this I didn't hear yet at the senatorial hearings today. I heard a lot of other good stuff, but I didn't hear this at the hearings. I heard Rep. Joe Barton, R. Texas, say the following. He said, just because God created the world in 7 days doesn't mean we have to pass this bill in 7 days. Rep. Darrell Issa, Republican California, said, I am emphatically against it. See, these people know what's going on here. Chuck Schumer asked if $150 billion might be enough to get the program started with a promise of more to come. Paulson said that would be a grave mistake, and it would fail to give the markets the confidence they need to rebound. I would argue to the contrary. I would argue that the markets would rebound if they were not given a loan that was not collateralized. I would say that if these shaky institutions went under, we might have greater faith in the dollar from abroad. We might have greater faith in the system domestically. Certainly there would be less social unrest than there is today if the terrible behavior of these yuppies on Wall Street were to be rewarded with failure. Just as your son is punished for his bad behavior, smoke a joint, well, maybe he has to pay for it. Crash a car while drinking, you lose your license. Crash a company while driving, you lose your company. How in the world could the man who crashed the company now come to us and say, let me have more money so I can run the company on a sound basis? On what basis can these people be trusted or entrusted to run the company on sound footing when they've evidenced the contrary? I believe I have given you a lesson in Wall Street 101 today. And all I can say to you is, if you agree with me, that's fine. If you disagree with me, it's a free country. Rest assured that I'm not talking to a wall here. Rest assured that although I am the most invisible man in talk radio, this is the third largest radio show in America, heard on over 350 radio stations. The website, michaelsavage.com, has an enormous following. I have four bestsellers in a row. This one's going to be the fifth. All I can tell you is somebody up there is listening, and it's coming down off the big satellite in the sky called God.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The financial system is gummed up and there's illiquidity hurts it, and it may be that to deal with the situation,
student loans and then credit card debt messing up the housing.
That is, I certainly, sir, did not say we were going to focus on this and that was going to be the major focus.
I didn't say you said it. I said I read it.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what you read.
I read that. Included because someone insisted on it that you were dealing with, included that we were going to deal with credit card debt and student loan debt. That's untrue?
What we've said, though, is we've asked for broad authorities.
Oh, my word.
And to deal with a variety of securities if we need to, and a variety of asset classes. But the focus here, the major focus will be dealing with with mortgage and mortgage related.
I think we get the idea. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Always a pleasure to sit in for Michael from time to time. We're going to be giving away, as Michael said, we're going to drive him to the poorhouse. We're going to give away his fifth bestseller. It's destined to be the bestseller. Of course it is. Psychological Nudity, Michael's newest book. Collection of 75 different stories, some of which you've heard, some you haven't heard. Great read. Also, want to direct you. It's important. Michael talked about the big following to the website. It's growing each and every day because it's one of the only places you can actually get the news unfettered and all of these issues fully vetted at michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. I want you to go there. And we're going to be giving away Psychological Nudity here in just a second. Did you hear what these guys were talking about? Yeah, well, this whole economy thing's gummed up. Gummed up? Gummed up? That's what my carburetor gets, is gummed up. No, this is a financial disaster. The bailout expanded to include student loans, car debt, credit cards. Are you kidding? Yes. Yes, folks. I wish I were kidding. This already massive taxpayer financial rape just gets more and more violent. But the question is, can it be stopped? A lot's happened in the last 24 hours. As Michael was just telling you, breaking news, the FBI is now investigating AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Lehman, 26 corporate execs in the sights of the FBI. And I'm sure in no small part because of all the resistance, all of the attention this show has been getting. Literally tens of thousands of people are on the phone, on the computer, as they should be, trying to hold the line to retain what they can of this country. In the dark of night, when most of us were snoozing, the Treasury dramatically expanded its bailout plan to include what? Buying student loans, buying car loans, credit card debt. Maybe they stopped off in housewares for a toaster. These other troubled assets by the banks. Now, the changes, which were included in the draft language that they were going back at that little parry and joust we heard coming into the show, was I mistaken? Well, I think what we're doing, answer the question. Answer the question. In the draft language, it also opened the bailout program to foreign banks. Are you sitting still, driving in a slow lane? Listen, foreign banks. with extensive loan operations in the United States. So let me see if I get this straight. We're going to bail out people that should have never received a loan in the first place. We're going to bail out all the golden parachutes. We're going to bail out people with car loans, credit cards, student loans, and now foreign banks. Foreign banks with extensive loan operations in the United States. Potentially, by the way, adding tens of billions of dollars to the cost of the program. Yeah, it was a major addition to what was already the nation's largest ever bailout, and it did not become part of the debate between the Democrats and the Treasury because they couldn't get into the details. Late Monday, the counterproposal by the Senate Banking Committee, Christopher Dodd, as Michael's been talking about, included consumer loans as well as mortgages. I mean, this is absolutely insane. It's not insane if you're trying to design a model for socialism. It's not insane then. The Treasury Secretary Paulson stressed that the additions were needed to ensure that student loans and credit cards, which have become indispensable to the spending habits and career plans, oh, now they're socializing us into how to plan our careers and how to plan our lives. That's what he said. Credit cards and student loans are indispensable to the spending habits and career plans of many Americans. He doesn't want those to become victims of the credit crunch as well. Well, let's be realistic, if we could, for just a second. Student loans, which Wall Street firms packaged and sold to investors just like mortgages, already were hit hard in this credit crunch earlier this year. Much of the private loan marketing disappeared. That forced the government to step in once again and beef up its direct loan program for college students. This is just too much. If you were to write the demise of the American empire, like Ahmadinejad was talking about earlier at the UN, if you were going to write a script, you couldn't do it any better than this. You absolutely couldn't do it any better than what's going on right now. You just couldn't. All right. I want to get to your calls because I know a lot of you are you're upset. You have passion. It is running through your veins, and that is good because that means you still have a pulse when it comes to this country. Because quite honestly, the only thing that stands between this country and the demise of the American empire is you. We leave it up to the knuckleheads in Washington and the corporate execs. We're done. We're finished. Jesse in Mississippi. Jesse, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. My father was a Korean War veteran. I grew up with him fighting the government tooth and nail, and he passed away fighting the government. He did not ever get to hear a message by Dr. Savage. I recently have found Dr. Savage, and I just wanted to say that he would be proud of what Dr. Savage is trying to do.
I think anyone that has sacrificed and committed to the country like our veterans, whether it the Korean War, Vietnam, it doesn't matter. I think just about every vet that is committed to the degree a soldier has to commit to for this country and what this country is all about would appreciate Savage's message. And Jesse, I'm glad I went to this line because I'm glad you said that. It makes a difference, and it makes a difference on many different levels. Jesse, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Portland, Oregon. Jim, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Jim?
Doing well. Hey, one of your callers yesterday said that it was arrogant what our senators were doing with this bailout package. It's beyond arrogance. It's hubris. They are stealing our money. And then it's tyranny is what it is. I mean, they are taking our money to bail out people that stole it to begin with all this bad paper, and now they want us to bail them out. It's like paying the guy that burglarizes your house. Terrible.
Well, you know, I think Michael, and if you go to michaelsavage.com, you'll see the casino reference, and I said it's sort of like going and sitting down with a group of professional gamblers and explaining to these people, well, the casino's overextended itself, and we need you to help out. I mean, we know they're going to get your money eventually, but they need more of your money right now, just so you can sit in for another hand. You know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely on the mark. And I do not for the life of me that's not true. I started to say something rhetorical. The people in Washington, in the Beltway, the people at Saks, at Fannie Mae, at Freddie Mac, at Lehman, they know exactly what's going on. They know exactly how you feel. But they feel if they can get enough smoke and enough mirrors and enough things going on that they can sidestep, just like our presidential candidates. And I don't want to upset anybody, but today, they were asked about the bailout. They were asked about this, and they kept making these non-statements, these non-positions, and making it a five-minute diatribe. Aren't you a little sick of that, Jim? Wouldn't you like to see somebody with the cojones to stand up and say, this is going to stop, and we're not going to the taxpayer to screw to help us fix something that somebody else screwed up? That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't. I mean, don't pay attention to the man behind the mirrors or behind the curtain, because they're not going to give you the straight answer. And it's because they are stealing from us, and they don't want to get caught, and they don't want the American people to revolt again like we did 200 years ago when we said, we're not going to pay you for something you're not giving us.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of tea was floating around the Boston Harbor. You're right, Jim. I appreciate it very much. Let's go to Robert. Robert, Salt Lake City. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Thanks, Rick, for taking my call.
Sir.
My question simply, Rick, is why isn't there one honest person somewhere out there in the government, whether it be the president or somebody, who will tell us the honest truth and tell us really what the worst-case scenario could be in this deal and how we can prepare for it?
Well, you know, that question almost answers itself. Why is there not one honest speaker within the barriers of Washington? Within the barriers of Washington answers the question. You know, I know some congressmen, and they're good people, and they're stand-up guys, and I respect what they do. I don't envy their position. I'll put it that way. I don't want to get that dirty to play that game. And that's exactly what they have to do day in and day out. You know, I talked to one, and I'll, a congressman friend of mine, and I'll leave his name off to the side. And I said, you know, man, this must be so much different than everything at a state level. And he goes, I'll be honest with you, at the end of the day, just to try to get anything done, you feel like you need to take two or three showers. I mean, it's just, it's inherent in Washington. It's inherent in big government. It's inherent, I think, in government at every level, city, state, and federal. And Robert, that is why I'm saying people must get involved. They must get involved. You don't have a choice. This is an obligation. You know, our fathers and grandfathers went off to war to protect American interest and make it safe to live here, to protect freedom and democracy, and keep the fabric of what this great nation was alive. Well, now, how many times have we said it? How many times has Michael said it? The enemy within. It's alive, and it's real, and you can take that literally. We must fight the enemy within, because they are here to rape and pillage and plunder and take from us our children's birthright. You can't allow that. Of course, they're not wearing uniforms. They're not carrying automatic weapons, but they're carrying ballpoint pens. And with a stroke of a pen, they can run a company in the ground. With a stroke of a pen, they can make your assets disappear. With a stroke of a pen, your retirement is gone. With a stroke of a pen, your child no longer has a college fund. With a stroke of a pen, they can change forever the future of America. And that's where it's got to stop. It must stop. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. Always a pleasure. You're on the Savage Nation. Your call straight ahead. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. Want you to go to michaelsavage.com. If you haven't gone there yet, please make some time today and get to michaelsavage.com. You're going to see the information that you need that you're not going to see, certainly, in the lamestream media. Also, Michael's book, Psychological Nudity, going to be giving copies away very, very shortly. As you know, Michael has four bestsellers. I'm sure this will be the fifth, and we'll give you an opportunity to pick one of those up here in just a second. Obviously, talking about the taxpayer rescue, some call it a government bailout, but the government doesn't have any money, so let's call it what it is. Now expanded to cover student loans, credit cards, and foreign banks that are heavily invested in America, you see. If you tried to draw a model for the path to socialism, you couldn't do it better than it's being done for us right now. San Diego, Tyler. Tyler, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, brother Rick. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yes, sir.
Rick, okay. Yeah, I know you've heard of this saying before. You can't get blood out of a turnip, right?
I have indeed.
Yes. Where's this money supposed to come from, sir? Speaking for myself, just with the economy as it is, I mean, I'm a contractor. I've got three kids, and things out there right now are pretty slim pickings, and they want us to pay for all these speculators, foreign, abroad, and alike, and here within the States? I mean, where is all this supposed to come from with the way things are?
Well, you have to look at it this way. If let me play devil's advocate. Could I do that for just a second? Sort of like an evangelical preacher. Friends, if you could just dig a little deeper, help me out one time today. If we could just get $3,325 for every man, woman, and child walking the face of America, we'd be out of this mess, and things would go back to normal. See, Tyler, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Both presidential candidates had plans, right? Healthcare plans, no taxes. Well, all of that's changed now. All of that's changed because the Wall Street crisis. I'm glad, and by the way, I want to reiterate, the FBI, as Michael told you just a little bit ago, the FBI is now investigating AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Lehman. 26 corporate execs are in their sights, and I'm glad. I'm speaking figuratively, not literally. Tyler, you'll come up with the money. You'll come up with the money because when April 15th comes around, you'll have no choice. You see, we are a never-ending source of income for the federal government. That's the way it was planned. That's the way it was designed. We're going to spend a little more here on that, a little more on this. It's going to add up, and it's going to be what they need. $700 billion. I'm here to tell you, Tyler, that's not the end all. It's going to be a trillion if it's a nickel. I mean, I went through this, and I told you everything that's on the FDIC's watch list. That doesn't even include AIG. This thing's going to be a trillion if it's anything. You're going to pay more, Tyler. That's the bottom line. You're going to pay more in taxes. You're going to pay more on every kind of tax.
If that comes to fruition, Rick, I mean, you know what? I hope there's a lot of, you know, social programs out there to help me out because I tell you, I'm going to need it.
Well, you're in Southern California, right? Just give me a ballpark. What income bracket are you in? Just ballpark. I don't want to get into your personal information, but what, 150, 200,000, 250, what?
You hit it right in the head. Yeah, absolutely. Good job. All right.
Okay, well, you're wealthy. According to the federal government, you're wealthy. I have no idea why you're calling and complaining. You must have more money than Carter has pills. You've got nothing to complain about. This country has allowed you to make all that money, even though you live in a part of the country where the median price for a house is well over $400,000 for a one-bedroom shack. Still, Tyler, you're happy days are here again. What are you complaining about, my friend? Dig a little deeper, as Biden says. Become patriotic. You know, just kick in a little bit. You know, when you do your tax return, would you like to kick in an extra $5 for the three-toed monkey sloth that's on the endangered species list? Well, now instead of the monkey sloth, or monkey sloth, it's going to be the Wall Street sloth. That's what you're going to be kicking in for. Tyler, I appreciate the call. More of your call straight ahead. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
The Paulson plan will spend $700 billion worth of taxpayers' money to prop up and clean up the balance sheets of Wall Street. This massive bailout is not a solution. It is a financial socialism, and it's un-American.
Well, I can't argue with that. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you once again. This is the Savage Nation. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com at your earliest convenience. Because you can't miss, it's updated daily, sometimes hourly, depending on the news. You've got to get there, michaelsavage.com. Also, Psychological Nudity, Michael's, excuse me, fifth book, destined to be his fifth bestseller, and I haven't given a book away yet. I need to do that here pretty quickly. You no doubt have heard the 545 people lament, have you not? I'm going to give it to you very, very quickly, and I'm going to go to your calls. Politicians are the only people in the world, the only people who create problems and then campaign against them. Have you ever wondered why, if both the Democrats and Republicans are against deficits, if they're both against deficits, then why do we have deficits? Have you ever wondered why, if all the politicians are against inflation and high taxes, yeah, you're ahead of me, why do we have inflation and high taxes? You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations. The House of Representatives does. You and I don't write the tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set the fiscal policy. Congress does that too. You and I don't control monetary policy. The feds Yeah, specifically the Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices. 545 human beings out of 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Board because, well, that problem was created by the Congress in 1913. They delegated its constitutional duty to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. And I could go on, but the bottom line is this. Not just no to a bailout, but hell no. We are rewarding failure, we're rewarding greed, we're rewarding sloth, and we're setting an example for the rest of the world that we're ripe for the pickings, as they say in the South. It's enough. It's absolutely enough. Arizona, Sue. Sue, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Sue.
Hi. One thing that I haven't heard anyone mention, where are the audit reports on these banks? By law, these banks need to have regular independent audits. I don't think we should even consider one dime without an independent audit.
Well, I'm not sure about the independent audit reports, Sue. Very good question. But I do know the FBI, in the last couple of hours, has, according to the AP, is now investigating 26 corporate execs with AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Lehman Brothers. And I'm quite sure there's going to be some talk of audit reports there. I will give McCain this. He said the full investigation needs to be transparent. Well, that's a given. I mean, they're asking you to bail them out. Of course it should be transparent.
Why should we bail them out when they're not even clear about the origins of this debt? Well, it may be student loans. Come on. We need to know exactly what it is before any decisions are made on this. I'm sorry. I'm a taxpayer, and I would demand to see this.
Well, actually, you're a lifeguard right now because you, along with every other taxpaying American, they're looking for you to throw them a life preserver to keep them in business. And I'm pretty sure, Sue, I'm pretty sure many of us that have started businesses, yourself included, and have failed, have learned from our mistakes. And if we tried again, we didn't make the same mistake twice. Why should the government be given any more credibility? Why should the government be given any more of our time, of our disposable income, than what we would give each other? I mean, we do it already. We send our money up there and have no idea where it goes. And now they squander, they spend, they act like the checkbook. As long as there's checks, there's got to be money in the bank. And if there's not, go back to mom and dad. They'll make a deposit for you. Guess what, Sue? We're mom and dad, and I'm tired of it. Sue, I like your style. Would you like a copy of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity?
I would.
Okay, tell me what your favorite story that you're looking forward to seeing in the book. What's your favorite story that Michael's told?
Probably Love by the Sewage Treatment Plant would be my favorite.
Love by the Sewage Treatment Plant. Well, Sue, you hang on for just a second. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity. And I'm going to jot that one. I'm going to take a look at that one in just a little bit. Love by the Sewage Treatment Plant. Let's go to Bill. Bill in Delaware. Bill, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I'd just like to make a comment. Is there any way that we could seize the assets of these CEOs and presidents? I mean, we're talking all the way down the line from the houses and the bank accounts and everything else to somewhat shore up some type of a collateral for the $700 billion.
Well, Bill, Michael talked about it earlier, and I think he's absolutely without qualification on point. All of these bank officers, CEOs, CFOs, everybody involved in all of these companies needs to be told. They need to be given actual notice, if not constructive notice, stop. No more spending. We're freezing your accounts for a 30-day period. We're not going to let you starve to death, bless your heart, but we want to know where the money is. If you're going to go to the American taxpayer and say, we need your help to the tune of possibly $1 trillion, then at least the people that were directly involved need to pony up their portion. That's only fair, Bill. And yes, I think that legally you could do that. Certainly with the FBI investigating, at least these 26 top execs, their assets should be frozen if, in fact, they're being investigated for fraud.
I agree. I think it's about time. I think the whole thing's obscene, to be honest with you.
It is. It is. Very good word, Bill. A very good word. Obscene. How do I say this? How do I How do I do this? Do you know how much money these top execs? Do you know how much? I guess between the obscene amount of wealth, between the road to socialism, what was it, a century ago, a little over a century ago, Russian-born writer Ayn Rand warned about the creeping socialism she saw in America. Even then, there's a read called Atlas Shrugged. It's a story, I won't go into the story, it's a story of John Galt. He's a shadowy figure who's fed up with high taxes, burdensome regulations, interference from the government, and he secretly recruits all these people, the best and brightest of American capitalism, and they go off to the mountains of Colorado. It's a good read, Atlas Shrugged. But this is so transparent for anyone that will look with an unbiased eye, listen with an unbiased ear. This is wrong. At so many different levels, I don't know that a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hour talk show could touch on them all. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Eugene. Eugene, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Roberts. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Firstly, please do me the courtesy of switching me to a vacant line or something when you're done answering my call, because I can't get this radio station. I can't hear your answer if you don't. I would like to rephrase my question into a statement just to the American people. Please consider that this whole bailout is stupid in the point that the American economy and the American society and civilization is not based on corporate heads or sponsors. This American nation was founded by us, the people that go out and work every day, and if we do worst-case scenario, go into a recession, we're going to come back stronger and better for it. You can't reward negligence and expect things to be okay.
No, you can't. There is a consequence for every action. And as we've said time and time and time again, Eugene, generally speaking, the consequences for your actions are so small, you don't even notice them. They go right on by. You never even notice them. Sometimes, as in the case of young men going off to war, the consequences for actions are so grave and so impactful that you don't think you can bear up under their weight. But make no mistake, there is a consequence for every action. And in this particular case, the federal government is asking the American taxpayer to take away that consequence. We don't want any consequences for our actions. You know, in the 2008 election cycle, the list of the top recipients of donations from the financial services, the insurance and real estate sectors, all, by the way, likely to be affected in some degree or the other by this legislation, including our leading presidential candidates. Democratic nominee Obama took in $22.5 million. Hillary Clinton, $21.5 million. Let's see, I'm just doing the math in my head. That's 42, 43, that's $44 million. John McCain, $19.6 million. Well, round it off to 20. Money rained down also on the top members of Congress who are steering this legislation. The Senate Banking Committee Chairman, Christopher Dodd, a candidate for president, $6 million. Representative Barney Frank, believe it or not, he got some money, $720,000. And it goes on and on and on and on. If you trace the movement of Wall Street money through Washington, it pretty well tells the story behind this and any other piece of legislation. I mean, you don't have to be a PhD in economics to figure out what's going on here. All you have to be is someone that cares about this country and someone that has the wherewithal to say, no, I draw the line right here. You know, I told the story this morning when in Pennsylvania. I remember visiting a certain spot in Pennsylvania. I'm not trying to get all sentimental and all of that on you, but I remember visiting a spot in Pennsylvania at the edge of a line of trees, looking out over this field and imagining what took place there. And it was very, very early, very early. The fog was lifting. The dew was still heavy on the foliage all around me. It was not cold, but it was crisp. And I was thinking, my God, what took place here all those years ago for me? For me, I'm a resident, I'm a citizen of this country. All of that took place for me, and that place was Valley Forge. And I visited again. I don't know why the place holds a special feeling for me. I visited again in the dead of winter. I was in Pottstown, Pennsylvania at the time and made the trek to Valley Forge, not all that far. the dead of winter, and you look at those little buildings, and you look at the snow and the cold, and you think, that took place for me. And then you look at that Armani suit getting out of the new Beamer coupe with the lizard skin briefcase going up to the top floor as he wheels and deals, as Michael says, in the modern day boiler rooms. And now he wants your help. He wants your help. It's wrong. It's wrong at every single level. Let's go to George. George, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, George.
Hi. I heard Michael and you two talking about the FBI is going to investigate these mortgage houses. And I was just wondering if they're going to go after some of the illegal aliens that got some of the loans that they can't pay now and they want us to bail them out for.
Well, George, Michael announced it just literally within the hour it occurred. But you're right. The FBI is now reporting that it's, let's see, I want to give it to you correctly, aggressively investigating AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Lehman, 26 initially is what they said, 26 corporate execs and the potential for fraud that existed there. I would imagine the home loans made to those people that should not even be in this country is way down their list of priorities as far as what they're looking for. You can't tell me that sanctuary cities didn't play a role. You can't tell me that unscrupulous employers that care more about their bottom line than they do about the sanctity, sovereignty, and security of a nation, you can't tell me they didn't play a role. And, you know, it all plays a role. It all plays a role. But very good point, George. And you know what? I know myself, I've been trying to get an accounting of several different banks. How many of your bad loans were made to people that shouldn't even be here in the first place? And of course, I always get, well, what do you mean they shouldn't be here? I mean, they've got a bank account. Yes. Are they citizens of the United States of America? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to look into that. Can I get back with you? Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for not caring about your country. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Robert. Robert, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Rick. I just want to say, you know, that I think it's just absolutely ridiculous that, you know, we the taxpayers should have to, like, bail, you know, a quote-unquote company that, you know, has not a whole lot to do with, you know, a whole lot of people in the United States and everything. But to narrow it down to a simple term, let's say, you know, in Michigan, for instance, we got, like, our auto plants and everything that's been kind of going through hard times, you know, and you know, I'm against, you know, bailouts, you know, no matter what, you know.
Well, look, Robert, yeah, you've got your own problems in Michigan with big business taking its business elsewhere, to turn a phrase. Bailouts, you know, bailout is something that I did for my son until he was at an age where I thought that he could learn a lesson from his mistakes. That's what a bailout is. But I would not disrespect my son in the form and fashion that the government is asking me to be a part of their mess. You know, if my son came to me with you know, one iota of the unbelievable indifference that the government is coming to the American taxpayer, I don't even want to think of that. I don't want to think of that. I didn't raise my kids that way. And certainly, I'm not going to interact with my government that way. You know, if they want to declare this the People's Republic of America, the USSR, fine. Let me know in advance. I'll pack my bags, probably shed a tear and bid a fond farewell to a once great nation that has now been taken over by socialists and communists. Of course, that's immediately after the revolution because we have a right to be here. And many of those in Washington and heading up these giant corporations do not. They are acting in their own interest and not the interest of the country. I appreciate the call very much. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you once again. This is the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. And hopefully you can listen to the entire show. And if you did, you probably heard Michael speak on this before, but it bears repeating. E pluribus hocum, or when the gamblers bail out the casino. Why should American taxpayers give the U.S. Treasury Secretary Paulson a blank check to bail out the shareholders of busted banks. Think about that for a second. Why should the Treasury turn itself into a toxic waste dump for their bad loans? Why not let other banks join the unlamented Brothers Lehman in bankruptcy court? Start a new bank with the taxpayer money, or have the Treasury pay interest on delinquent mortgages and make them whole. Even better, why not let the Chinese or maybe the Saudis or other foreign investors take control of the failed American banks? They've got the money, and they'd gladly pay a premium for an inside seat at the American table. None of the above will occur. America's going to give between $700, $800 billion, up to $1 trillion to the Treasury to buy any bank assets it wants on any terms with no possible legal recourse. It's an invitation to the abuse of power unparalleled in American history, in which ill-paid civil servants will set prices on the portfolios of the banking system with no oversight, no threat of legal penalty. Why are the voices raised in protest so shrill and so few? Why will Americans fall on their fountain pens for their bankers? If America is to adopt socialism, why not have socialism for the poor rather than the rich? Why should American households that earn $50,000 a year subsidize Goldman Sachs partners who earn $5 million a year? Now, if you can answer that question or any of those questions, then you are a better man than I, because I can't. I can't look in the face of a tax-paying citizen and say, oh, yeah, this is a good deal. The government is painting it out. Both, by the way, presidential candidates are painting it out. Well, we take a little hit now so we don't take a bigger hit later. A little hit? We are in monumental economic meltdown. Not since World War II have we been in a mess like this. What are you talking about, a little hit? Well, I mean to Main Street versus Wall Street, Wall Street versus Main Street. Well, they're one of the same. No, they're different. No. The American people need to stand firm and say, no, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Faith, Victorville. Faith, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. I want to teach a class using the Savage Nation. Liberal is a mental disorder.
Well, then you need a book, Faith. If you want to teach a class on liberalism is a mental disorder, I'm going to make sure you get Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. You stay right where you are. Yes, it will be the resource you need. I promise you that. All right? Stand by. Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity, coming your way. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation.
Savage.